Here we go!
You're listening to the video game show on URN.
Hello, it's Saturday. It's 2 o'clock. It's the video game show. You're listening to it.
Woo!
I'm your host. I'm going to be Key Grip. I'm here with Best Boy Henry.
Thanks, Mark.
And then I'm here with Gaffer Dylan.
Nice. Hi.
And then I've completely run out of ridiculous names from credits.
Sidewinder, Jack Newman.
Boom operator.
Surely technician.
Yeah, that works. That also works. Yeah, it's Mark, it's Dylan, it's Henry, it's Jack. It's the OG crew. Actually, I've got a shout out that I said I'd give. I traded a shout out for a like on the Facebook page, and I feel absolutely no shame in doing so.
No, that's fair enough.
A friend of mine on my course for his final year project has made something incredible, and it's vaguely related to video games. You know Snake?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know it very well.
Yes, you do.
So, he's made three-dimensional Snake, and he's built a 5x5x5 LED cube, and you play Snake within a three-dimensional space.
So it's a physical thingy?
Yeah, it's a physical thing. Hang on, I'll show you a picture, which is great for radio.
What does it eat?
It's programmed, so these LEDs.
Oh, is it a light?
Yeah, it's these LEDs.
Oh, right.
And it's like...
a physical Snake.
No, not a physical... That's
awesome. That's awesome!
He's just made a Snake!
That's so cool!
It's honestly, it's... So it's I will post a video on the Facebook page, and I'm going to put up the code as well so you can play an HTML version of it, because, yeah, shout out to Dimitar.
Well done.
He has made it. So it looks like that. So it's an actual physical thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's very nice.
It is profound.
Can confirm it's not a real Snake.
I am, by the way, URN video game champion of Snake at the moment.
I should say, I was bored on the bus the other day. I decided to start a Snake competition on the video game group chat.
That was a bad idea.
Very quickly handed my rear end towards me.
But yeah, I'm gonna put the code up there so people can have a look.
Yeah. That does sound awesome.
It's profound.
I can't wait for
like, it's the it was the moment I was playing Snake, and then I saw, like, it was the fruit I wanted to get was surrounded by Snake. And so then I leaned to the side and I pressed down and then went below it and came back up through it.
Amazing.
And I've never experienced anything like it. I was playing it for like 25 minutes and a huge grin on my face the entire time.
It's a cube that you can... It's not just on the surface of the cube.
You move within a fully 3D space. I want to tell you about John Carmack and his lawsuit.
Oh, yes.
So remember the other week? There was, a couple of weeks ago now, there was that lawsuit between ZeniMax and Oculus.
Yep.
Yeah, so like that worked out kind of in ZeniMax's favour in the end, because I guess they did get $500 million out of it.
Ooh, but
It wasn't the $4 billion they wanted, but, you know, $500 million is nothing to be sniffed at.
Maybe they can figure out what to do.
So, John Carmack, apparently in some sort of bizarre counter-sue, is now suing ZeniMax for $22 million.
For being...
Or $22.5 million, isn't it, Jack?
I think it's $22.5 million.
Is it essentially for hurting his feelings type thing?
I think it's like... So, apparently, it's... When ZeniMax purchased id, he was one of the founders of id.
Right.
And part of that purchase deal meant that the founders, the three dudes who founded it, all got a cut. And apparently ZeniMax have just not given him his cut due to what... An actual legal term used by an actual legal lawyer was sour grapes. So yeah,
sour grapes.
It sounds like ZeniMax have taken their toys and gone home, but it turns out their toys are $22 million of someone else's money.
Oh, right. Fair play. I hope he gets them back.
It seems reasonable that if he is owed this money, then sue for it. But would you really want to still be in court? Wasn't that Oculus suit going on for like 4 years? 3 years?
Yeah, like how, you know...
Yeah, it seems like the timing of it, and it all comes together in a way that just feels a bit... Yeah, it's like, okay, so I have to pay ZeniMax some money, but they've got to pay me some money too.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to pay them all my money, and then they're going to pay a little bit back.
Yeah, it's a bizarre state of affairs. You can see why people would be saying sour grapes, can't you? There was a PlayStation 4 update that came out. A firmware update. Have you got it?
I have, but I don't know what it did.
Quality journalism
I'm about to tell you what it did. So maybe now you can go home and really appreciate your PlayStation.
Just did it. Don't know what happened.
Someone tells me to sign something, I just sign it.
I just do what Sony tells me.
Everything went black.
I woke up and I was surrounded by updated PlayStation 4s.
There was a scar where my kidney used to be.
Unmarked money.
So can you tell me what I have done to my PS4?
You've bricked it, mate. No.
excuse me.
It adds external hard drive support.
Oh.
Which is pretty good, actually. Yeah. Oh, that is pretty good.
I don't have one, but that's good.
But now you can get one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Considering the Xbox One and the Wii U have had all that for the last couple of years.
From the get-go.
Yeah,
Xbox One didn't have it from the get-go.
Didn't it?
I don't think so.
Quite early on, the beginning.
Oh, okay.
It's good that considering just how big games are and how often people are filling up their hard drives, it's cool that it now has external hard drives.
Does that mean you can plug in an external hard drive and run it off that? Is that what it means?
Yeah, as in like you can go buy a 1 terabyte USB drive and you can run and play games off that.
Right.
And a lot of the time they run faster.
Yeah, if you get a fast drive, then you actually run games better.
Ah.
At least load them faster.
Very nice.
It also adds boost mode for the PlayStation 4 Pro. Which is that? That switch you can flick, and then it means that even unpatched games will have like slightly better frame rates and stuff, which is nice. But I don't have a PlayStation 4 Pro. Remember No Man's Sky?
No, that's a video game. No Man's Sky. Yeah.
Kind 2016's of best game.
More like
Boredom Simulator 2016.
It's the Pathfinder update. It came out yesterday, and it adds. Well, I've got a list here. I've got visual updates, online base sharing. You can own multiple ships. Starship specializations. Apparently, it adds PlayStation 4 Pro, which doesn't seem to make too much sense.
I mean, is it just a pro in it? You get to fly in a pro. Like, what do you do?
Right?
They feel so bad about No Man's Sky that now, if you download the update, they send you a PlayStation.
You can play
Pro.
A pro.
Sorry, guys.
The Starship specialization seems pretty good. Does that mean that the Starships aren't all the exact same thing, just with a different skin now?
Yeah, I guess.
Which is
nice. And if you can own multiple of them, then now you can probably start having like a fleet. I guess
makes sense to have more than one. And it's high, like super high resolution now as well. Mm. That's the visual update, isn't it? Like,
yeah, they've added really good textures. That's probably what PlayStation 4 Pro means. It probably means that there's a pro mode that can now go up to 4K and other stuff. It's they've added like ground vehicles, like cars you can drive around in.
Ooh.
So now you can You can now see more of the boring planets faster.
Oh, that's good.
Which is,
well, you need to move on quicker, don't you?
Says base building variety, multi-tool specializations, new weapon mode, permadeath mode, photo mode, discovery menu.
I think they should just put a bullet point that just says fun.
and then that's not until the next update. Guys, we tried to get fun into this update, and it just wasn't working.
we
can't get it out of beta.
The textures were too complicated.
But it does sound like they're actually adding the things that make this game an actual game.
Yeah, fair.
Rather than just an iPad game.
I stand by that in a year's time, with another couple of updates, No Man's Sky is going to be really good fun.
They might as well just call it No Man's Sky 3 reboot or something.
Just do a full reprint of all the discs with all the updates on already, and just go like No Man's Sky, what it was meant to be.
Sean Murray's Revenge or whatever. This is him, that.
I guess this is the only way to do it now, because nobody's going to let them make a sequel unless they put all these updates in.
Unless they make good on at least some of the promises they had about the quality of this game.
Yeah.
Henry, talk to me about Orisa.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, Overwatch having teased a character for a while, this little girl called... It's like Annie or something. Anyway, she's from the Numbani map, which is this African setting. Anyway, she's a little technician, and we all thought that was going to be the new character. And then they just released it out of nowhere and said, oh, new character, Orisa. And we're like, oh, who's that? And basically, it's this Minotaur-esque character who is one of this little girl's creation. She's an Omnic turned into a good one, and the Omnic are like the bad guys that they fight in the Overwatch lore.
Is it Symmetra, or is that also an Omnic? There's another robot, isn't there? Or Zenyatta?
Zenyatta's the support robot. Yeah. But basically, Orisa is a tank, but not only just a tank, she's an anchor tank. So, like, basically, in the same way that Reinhardt, when you play Overwatch, everyone plays around Reinhardt. So wherever Reinhardt's standing basically dictates what you do. And now they've got a new one, alternative, called Orisa. What she does is she can fire barriers with her arm. She projectile barriers. They pop out and they've got half the health of Reinhardt, but she can shoot them anywhere. She's also got an alternative attack where she shoots a kind of ball of energy and it sucks people in. So it's like a mini version of Zarya's ultimate. And also, she has an ability where she suddenly like she keeps moving. She can't be stopped, i.e. she can't be, like, far as concussive shock can't move her. Lucia,
what about May's ice wall?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. That's a good point. Lucio's thingy can't move her. Basically, she just keeps going. Basically, like, doesn't get stopped. Like, Roadhog's full hog thing move her. And her ultimate is basically, it's really cool. She puts down this kind of anchor, and any team member in sight has their damage output raised, like, doubled or whatever.
Cool.
So she's a really cool character. She hasn't come out yet on the console, but I've watched playthroughs of her, and she looks awesome, and I'll definitely want to get into her. But basically, she's a quite a versatile tank.
That seems awesome.
And looks like she'll probably end up being a very every player will probably, every team will probably have one of them in there. So it looks very cool.
Yeah, it seems like they're, like, each time they add a new character, even if it takes ages and seems like a bit of a joke, like with the hacker.
Yeah. Sombra.
Yeah, Sombra, that's it. It seems like it's always at least a really interesting character that changes the sort of metagame in their own special way.
Yeah, definitely. And that's to the keeping it balanced as well.
Yeah. And that's what they're saying. Like, Arisa will definitely shake that up because she can have this kind of crowd control and these barriers, and she's just a very versatile tank. So I'll be interested to see how she plays out. But the only thing people have said is that as an actual character, her personality is lacking a bit. Although I imagine they'll spice that up with skins and voice lines, so we'll see how that, we'll see how that turns out.
Did you see also that they put out that, or they confirmed that, what is it, Symmetra, the teleport lady?
Yes.
She is on the autistic spectrum, which was sort of revealed in a comic, and then an autistic fan sent a letter and got a really, really nice response from the team.
That's a really interesting
sort of confirming it and being really nice about it.
Are Blizzard, like, secretly just the coolest people in video games?
It's a really interesting thing to put in, actually, because it's not... Because in these characters, you get to know them. You don't know them, like, you know, as personal... So it's interesting they put that in. Like, I think that's really cool.
And they've clearly... It's clearly shaped how they've made the character, but it's not a big deal or anything. It's not like they've gone out saying, look at our artistic character, look how great we are.
Yeah, sure.
It's just like, she
just
is
informs some of her, like, voice lines.
Someone just asked to sort of see, and they're
like, interesting.
Like, we think it's really... integral to her, and we think she's a great character, and they were really, really nice about it, and it's
that's awesome, that's really cool, Blizzard are a cool company they seem all right, you know,
everything
it all turns out
doing.
Well, they're keeping Activision afloat these days, so they're probably doing
that's true. But people thought that the new character would be this character Doomfist.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of stuff here, because Doomfist is definitely coming out next.
Terry Crews is supposedly meant to be voice acting.
He said he really wanted to do it, and it's kind of become a full circle thing, because he said he wants to do it, all the fans now want him to do it. So actually, Blizzard really should do it, because they're sort of hype about it. But we all thought Doomfist was going to come out, and the various Easter eggs on the maps had suggested, so like, one of the maps, the payload, is a jet, and on top of it is like a giant fist like weapon in a can. And they basically smashed open that jar, and the fist has been taken out.
Yeah.
And so we all thought, oh, well, Doomfist is coming, and he'd be a tank, he's a big bloke. But they haven't announced him yet, so maybe that's going
to
come.
He's actually going to be support. He's going to use his big side to hold people.
The way they do all those Easter eggs is really, really cool. Like, the way they change the map really in small ways.
Very clever.
And it's all the sort of... They do those news articles as well, don't they, that you can just find around.
It's very, very clever.
And they changed for when, I think, Sombra was coming out.
Yeah, it's just a shame that Sombra ARG went on for way too long, and everybody's just seemed... By the time Sombra came out, by the time everybody knew it was Sombra... They still then waited a couple of months, didn't they? Everyone was just sick of it.
Yeah, people were just bored of it.
So whether... I mean, I'm hoping Arisa comes out pretty soon. Well, that said, my dissertation says otherwise, so... so maybe later. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll come out soon. And looks very cool tank, so I recommend people go and look her up.
I'm a Zelda expert. Ask me anything about Zelda.
Can you explain to the horse situation?
They're great.
Opponent, is she here? What's going on?
I think... So if you have Link Amiibo, then you can get Opponent.
Because, you know, they've got those NFC things.
Otherwise, Epona is not in the game.
Oh, okay.
And you just catch your own horses.
So that is more realistic.
What, catching your own horses?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have it. So the way it works is wild horses in the world.
Oh.
And different horses have different stats. They've got strength, speed, stamina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they've got different temperaments as well. So horses with worse stats tend to have a gentler temperament, so they're actually easier to catch.
Like,
turns out. So, so basically the way it works is you have to sneak up on the horses, and then you mount, and then you soothe. It's A to mount, and then L to soothe.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's...
Some pro tips.
Much like everything else in that game, it's so well... Like, the horse stuff is so well made that I ended up spending, like, an hour just trying to catch horses. Like, I spent, like, an hour getting a bunch of stealth gear and a bunch of recipes that boosted my stealth and my stamina, so I had enough stamina to tame better horses, and then just like sneaking through the tall grass dressed like a ninja to like and leaping out of trees onto horses to try and catch them. It was really good.
One question I have about that is, so obviously it's an open world game and you can do whatever you want, quite literally. What kind of direction is there, if any?
There is like a lot of direction. If you want to just go, if you want to do a story and you want to mainline it, like you early on, you come out of like the starting area, and there's this dude who's like, "Hey, come over here," and you go speak to him, and he says, "I think you should go investigate this thing over there," and it like a dot comes up on your mini map, and you go there and activates some stuff, and then he's like, "Okay, go and get these treasures from these place, and I'll let you get down from the Great Plateau," and then literally the game says, okay, go to this village. And then when you go there, they're like, okay, you want to go to these four places and deal with these. And if you go to there, and if you'd want, you can go into your quest log, because there's a quest log in this, which is nuts. And you can have those things highlighted on your map, and you can follow, like, you can make it as linear as you want. And it does give you quests and dots on your map and other stuff to do. And it will give you directions and say, okay, you need to go to this temple and do this and this temple and do that. But it actively encourages you to like walk in the other direction, yeah, and go and see what's somewhere else.
You can just go straight to Ganon in like the first half an hour of that game if you wanted to. If you wanted to just complete the start of it and then just go to the
So the Great Plateau is like, I think it's like I'm going to say it took me like maybe four and a half hours to get off it, and that's like the starting area,
right?
And that is where you get a lot of your basic abilities, and you get first sets of like gear and other bits. Okay. And then you get the thing you need to get off the Great Plateau, and then they're like, okay, you want to go here to speak to this woman because she'll hook you up with the next part of the quest. But you can see like Hyrule Castle from where you are, and you can see like Ganon flying around it.
So
like,
you just walk there.
Yeah, you can just go there, and like you're not gonna have the best gear or very many hearts or be able to really handle the fight, but you could just go there. Like, someone has done it. Someone has just gone there and started fighting him. Like, they haven't yet been able to beat him, because I imagine it's a pretty vicious boss fight with the most basic gear you've got.
God, that's crazy.
But yeah, you can just go there.
Do you think you could beat them if you
I think someone will find a way of doing it.
People do like no weapon naked runs of Dark Souls with like a keyboard. So,
oh my God. It's crazy that Nintendo have been so mature to give us that.
Yeah,
you could do that, you know. It's really crazy.
It kind of throws a cog in a wrench in the speedrun works. It's just like, yeah, just finish it straight away.
Yeah, just go do it.
It's like, see how quickly you can beat the big boss with nothing.
Yeah, it's like, I think the only part of the speedrun that's even going to be interesting is people figuring out how to get off the Great Plateau without doing the stuff that you have to do there to get the bit of gear.
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be the next bit. It's like, people can work out how to do that.
Glitching that you can do to somehow just immediately get the hang glider and then just get off the ASAP.
But it's awesome. It's so cool, and it gives you direction, but it encourages, like, so obviously there are shrines everywhere, and the rewards you get for the shrines help you get like more hearts or more stamina. So it's useful to do those shrines, and they're hidden all over the place. So it actively encourages you to find viewpoints and look around and mark them on your map and go and try and do these puzzles and other stuff. But it's just this weird thing of like. They say, you remember when like Skyrim was coming out, and they say, oh, it's this huge open world, you see that mountain, you can just go there. And it's going, well, okay, I can, but why?
Right.
This is, you see that mountain, you can go there, and then you go there, and there's always something there.
Right.
Like, there is so much stuff in this world, even if it's just like a really simple puzzle, where it's just like there's a couple of statues, and three of them are holding apples and one isn't. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go get an apple. Put an apple in the hands of the fourth statue, and then you just get an extra little thing, like a chest appears and you get some stuff. But it's because it's so weirdly gear focused, because like you're always having to change weapons because your weapons and shields and other stuff is always breaking so often. You always want to be getting stuff, and so the fact that it fills the world with little things to do just then, like weird stuff. Like, I was wandering around and saw a circle of rocks, but there was one rock was missing from the circle, so I went and found a rock and brought it over there and put it down, and I got some stuff.
Yeah,
like it's crazy. There is a level of depth to it that it doesn't necessarily, because it seems so simple, because it is incredibly well polished, the level of depth to it isn't immediately apparent, and then you start playing with the systems, and I think like I've described it on Wednesday, like it actively dares you to do whatever you want, and then when you do it, it lets you do it. Like, it actively says, it gives you challenges where you try the most insane off-the-wall things, and then it just rewards you for doing it. Like, you saw that gif of the dude making the seesaw.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, you don't even need to do that, but you can, and it's really awesome.
Is it a bit like The Witcher in the sense of the free roam and the detail?
Yeah, I'd say it's less side quest focused in The Witcher. Right. Like, because a lot of the time in The Witcher, you go somewhere and then you find some content that is given to you. Like, you go and explore The Witcher world, and yeah. you either find just like a chest with some stuff in it that you end up selling, or you find a person and then you get an interesting quest. And this is just a lot more, you just find stuff, but the stuff is not just a chest. You actually have to do something to do it, and there's right. so many different unique and weird little challenges. But it's not. There are side quests. Like, I have found side quests and I have done side quests.
They're even not, if, you know, quote unquote side quests. They're just like things to do.
Yeah, it's like I got one side quest was I was walking around this village and I spoke to this little girl who was standing by a cook pot and she said, "Oh, I'm trying to make this recipe, but I don't have these ingredients." And then it popped up saying side quest, whatever's recipe. And then right. you, if you go and get those ingredients and bring it to her, she cooks it and then gives you some really useful food that happens to give you loads of hearts back or something like that. So, like, it has things that are explicitly side quests, but it's not the Witcher style of
sure.
this is actually like a mini story. It's more just tasks.
Yeah.
But, right, okay. Well, that sounds quite nice, relaxed. Because in The Witcher, that kind of stressed me out all the time. Although I love this side quest, it stressed me out that I had a massive quest log and I was like, Christ, I've got a lot to do. Whereas this sounds quite kind of.
This is, yeah, this is very
much.
Make
of it, really.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I can totally see why there are some people who are saying this game is bad and there's not much to do in it, because if you are not prepared to push and prod at the systems and look in every nook and cranny and start to think the way the game wants you to think, it could probably seem quite like void of content. But right. if you're prepared to actually go to the top of a mountain and look around and start and go, oh well, there's a shrine there, but then there's a weird circle of rocks there, and there's a treasure chest under the water over there, and all this other stuff, and you have to, if you let the game sort of convey the stuff in it to you and you embrace that, there is so much there. It's insane. I've played like 16 hours and I've barely scratched the surface.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've barely scratched the surface.
I like all of the physics aspects that they're introducing as well. Like, the other day we discovered that if you were to set fire to like vines or something, or just grass around you, and then you pull out your glider and run over the top of it, the updraft from the fire.
Oh, that is cool. I like that. That's
so, yeah,
cool.
Like, yeah. It was, I was on this island with a shrine, and so swimming, like, the stamina meter in this game can be like kind of a pain because everything uses up stamina right. like all the yeah. time. And so I was on this island and I wanted to get off this island. And so either it was a bit too far to swim because I would have run out of stamina, and I couldn't fast travel to the shore because my like fast travel points nearby were really far away. I just wanted to get to the shore. And so it's like, okay, you've got two choices, or we've got like really one choice, which is to use one of the tools the game gives you that lets you make pillars of ice, to make pillars of ice and just do like jumping and just like basically daisy chain them together. But that'd take ages. But then the shrine I was at on this island was surrounded by these vines. So I got out a fire arrow and I shot the vines and they all burst into flames. And the flames started spreading through them and it made this huge like burning fire. So I could then climb on top of the shrine, leapt off the shrine, took out my paraglider. The updraft from the flames gave me enough of a boost that I could then glide over the water and land on the shore.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And it's like, the game, there's no reason you would ever have to interact with any of those systems in that way. But the fact that it allowed me to solve that problem like that is nuts.
That's very cool like that. Does it annoy you that your weapons keep breaking?
Because
one of the things that RPG is, you always feel chuffed that you've got this massive weapon or whatever. But like, does it annoy you that it breaks?
Because you took that out of Witcher, didn't you?
You
modded it out of
Witcher. I really didn't like it in The Witcher
at all. Oh, you didn't
like
the fact that you had to repair it?
Yeah, like the first thing I did in The Witcher was modded out weapon degradation in Witcher 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I didn't like that.
I did quite like it. I thought it was kind of whatever.
Yeah, I think because that, but that's the thing, because in The Witcher 3, like, you have to keep sharpening weapons and repairing them and keep it going, and if it breaks, then you have to go and find another one, but there isn't the amount of weapons there are in The Witcher 3, like, good weapons, as there are in, like, Zelda. Like, in The Witcher, if you've got your wicked Witcher, like, mastercrafted sword you've got, and you break it,
swords?
In The Witcher?
You can actually break it.
Yeah, I think you get it down to, like, 0%.
And then it breaks.
Yeah, I think you at least have to then, like, go and repair it at, like, a shop or something.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
You can make them, like, completely useless. But, The problem with that is it's not like every half an hour, every 20 minutes, you're finding a grip of new, really good swords.
Yeah.
Whereas in Zelda, stuff is breaking, but you're always picking up new gear and equivalent gear, and there's always like new, like, I've been playing for 16 hours and I'm still finding weapons I've, like, weapon types I've never seen before. Yeah. Like, I was playing near Jack, and that boomerang, Jack.
Yeah.
There's like so boomerangs are back in this game, but they're like just curved swords, and you can use them just like a sword to go and hit people, but then also you can throw them and they come back, but you have to catch them when they come back. So if you don't press the A button at the right time,
it goes past you.
Like, it just swings right past you, and then you're not holding anything. Yeah. And then you have to get out another sword to fight people.
I really like that, like that mechanic of, you know, it's a real life boomerang. If you don't catch it, then you're not gonna have it.
Yeah, it's
I like that.
Yeah, like, I think
quirky stuff like that which makes this Zelda just unique from any other Zelda ever, really. And I think it's like, that's the reason why it's been given a lot of 5 out of 5s, 10 out of 10s from a lot of game review sites. And
it's really awesome. Yeah. And like, I think there are some issues with the control scheme. Like, I think there's some button layout stuff that is a poor choice on their part, which we were talking about. Like, I spoke about this on Wednesday as well, about like where jump and run is, and the way you have to kind of like rock your thumb across the controller to do it, and it's all, you have to claw the entire controller to hit them both to do like running jumps and stuff, which is not great. And there's like some frame rate stuff, but that's poor for the Wii U version and the Switch version.
Does it run well on the Wii U? Like,
relatively.
The graphics are good. Like,
I mean, it runs fine. Like, there are moments where there are certain scenes you can get to where the frame rate does drop, and and that is a bit sucky. But also there are parts where it runs great in the Wii U and it doesn't run well on the Switch, and vice versa. So like, it's not a blanket rule.
So you're not missing out hugely.
I wouldn't say so. Okay. It sucks that they haven't got good second screen support.
Yeah, that sucks.
But then also, I was playing this morning in bed, and so I didn't have the TV on, and I was just playing on the gamepad. Mm. And obviously the gamepad is a much lower resolution screen, but it's rendering just to that, and it does run better as well. So, like, much like how the Switch version runs better when you've got it in just, like, tablet mode, this will run slightly better if you're just playing on the gamepad.